Hey guys, back here at the Rhodes Pod. What's the skinny? The Rhodes Pod, what's the skinny podcast? Make sure you catch me on YouTube at Rich Rhodes at Rich Rhodes 4861 and the Rhodes Pod, what's the skinny, available on the RSS.com podcast network. You can also find that on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify and other podcast platforms. Today we're going to talk to Mason Klaus, Red Bank Valley graduate, who just had a fantastic season as a sophomore defensive back for the Grove City College Wolverines. Yes, I'm wearing a Grove City College hat. That's where I went to school many, many years ago. He and I get to talk a little bit about the Wolverines and how the season went for them and how he made the President's Athletic Conference all-conference team, second-team defensive back. And what I did not remember to talk to him about and ask him about is how his brother's doing. Owen Klaus is now there. He didn't start at Grove City, but now he's there, and he's going to try out for the golf team. So shout out to Owen. We didn't get to that during the podcast. Obviously, twin brothers who start at Red Bank Valley and doing very well at Grove City College. A couple other odds and ends. The football season officially ended last Friday for District 9. Port Allegheny losing in the PIAA quarterfinals to District 10 champion Greenville in the PIAA quarterfinals. Class A, 36-28. Port Allegheny had a chance to score and go for two to tie the game in the waning seconds, but Greenville stops the Gators on two plays within 1 yard and two plays. Aiden Bliss gets the ball both times. He did not score. The time ran out, and it will be Greenville winning. It was Greenville winning their first PIAA game since 1996, and they will go on to play the WPIL champion in the semifinals, and that's Clairton. That'll be Friday night at Elwood City. So Port Allegheny season ends with a 12-1 record, I believe that's what it was. And Bliss, what a career for him. His all-time leading, District 9 all-time leading rushing total, 7,869 yards and 123 touchdowns. Those are District 9 records. Now, and then he actually finished the season with, let's see here, Lori Chase, great statistician and journalist up in the Port Allegheny region. She has all this in front of me. And he finished with 2,801 yards and 48 touchdowns this year alone. And that is the second best total, a single season total in District 9 history, behind Aiden Bliss. Last year, he ran for 3,430 yards and 56 touchdowns. He would have played two more games than he did this year. So very similar numbers. So the top two rushing totals of all time going to Aiden Bliss, who only played 3 years. He did not carry the ball as a freshman. He did play, but he did not carry the ball. Again, 7,869 yards. Number two on that list, Nick Stewart of Kerwinsville, 7,324 yards. He passed him earlier, just a couple weeks ago, actually. So congratulations to a fine, outstanding season and career as far as football goes for Aiden Bliss, who will now move on to wrestling, where he will be a state medalist contender in the upper weight, somewhere probably 215, maybe 189. Other notes before we get into the conversation with Mason. Jace Ferguson, speaking of college athletes, the quarterback, record-breaking quarterback for Central Clarion Wildcats last year, Clarion Limestone graduate. He played four games at quarterback at Clarion and retains his redshirt status. So he will redshirt and still has 4 years remaining. He filled in as a backup quarterback because of injuries to the guys ahead of him on the depth chart. And he did very well. In four games, he threw for 747 yards, seven touchdowns, ran for 141 yards and a touchdown. Clarion finished 6-4 again. Ferguson still has 4 years of eligibility. Other college stuff that we did not mention in the Mason Klaus segment coming up. Nathan Taylor has not wrestled yet. He was on a podcast here earlier. Brookville's Nathan Taylor is ranked number 7 in the country for Lehigh at heavyweight. Lehigh is ranked number 13th in dual rankings. Perhaps Mr. Taylor will be back on the mat the weekend of December 5th and 7th. Those are two matchups for Lehigh. They play Pitt and Penn State that weekend. You could see Nathan Taylor in action there. So that's the college look before we get to Nathan. And, of course, this is Thanksgiving week, and I was going through my archives getting ready to put my papers together for this week, Vindicator and Jeffersonian Democrat, of which I'm the sports editor. And I wrote this 10 years ago, Thanksgiving week, And I'll read that to you. I thought it was a nice message to share with you that's still very valid. So here I go. With Thanksgiving comes time to give thanks. And that jumped out at me when I heard the story of Doug Flutie's parents, Dick and Joan, who died last week. Again, this is 10 years ago. The former Heisman Trophy winner and NFL quarterback's parents died within an hour of each other last Wednesday. His dad had been sick and died of a heart attack in the hospital. Then his mother suddenly died of a heart attack soon after that. Flutie said, they say you can die of a broken heart, and I believe it, Flutie said in an ESPN.com story. I would like to honor my parents for all they did throughout my brothers' and sisters' lives. My parents were always there for the children, for their children, from the days my dad coached us as kids and my mom would work the concession stand, Flutie said. But what Flutie said after that grabbed my attention. The most important part of their 56 years of marriage was providing opportunities to their children. Providing opportunities to their children, the essence of parenting. And since this is a sports column, which that's where it was 10 years ago, it's giving them a chance to play, play, and play. Dropping kids off at a practice is a start, but spending time alone with your children in the backyard goes a long, long way. Let us hope that our community continues to grow, not only great athletes, but families who are committed to providing those opportunities. I, for one, am very thankful for the families and parents who go above and beyond the parental duties of getting their children chances to have fun on the athletic fields, especially those who not only do what they can do for their children, own children, but helping others too by coaching and volunteering. Without them, success could not happen. Happy Thanksgiving, and here's Mason Klaus. Mason Klaus, Grove City College sophomore. Good to have you on the podcast, Mason. You had a busy fall with football. With some semester left, what's the body feeling like right now? What's it telling you?
I mean, a little bit sore after long season, but got a couple weeks left. Just going to recover a little bit and get healthy for the spring.
Okay, I'm going to go back in time. So I'm obviously wearing a Grove City College hat. I'm a 91 grad, and I actually looked this up. I actually know what I took the fall of my sophomore year. And by the way, it was coming off a pretty rough academic year for me in my freshman year. It was not easy. So the fall, here's my courses, and then you tell me what you're taking right now, because it's very interesting when we interact that with what you're doing, you know, athletically. It's a big challenge. So I had creative writing. I still do that. Pop lit, science fiction. I'll watch that some now. International relations, comparative politics. And then I'm curious if you had to take this. On my transcript, it says the social dimension, which is, I think, a core class where I believe you do some writing based on some class, you know, some different, I'm not sure what exactly that is now. So that's 15 credits. What are you doing this fall academically?
So I think I'm taking 17 credits. I have mechanics, Calc 3, then material science, fundamentals of material science, SSFT class, like science, faith, religion.
Yeah.
And then chemistry.
Okay. So my major was, I ended up getting a double major in communication arts and political science. Your major is
mechanical engineering.
Okay. So yeah, the chemistry and all that. And I do remember the religion, was it science, what would we call it? But it's the same class, science and religion.
Yeah.
And bringing those two together as a faith thing. And that was an interesting class. I remember now my first semester, when I was there, we had Saturday classes, which I'm sure wouldn't work for you modern students now. So the first 11 weeks of the year, I went to school 6 days a week. So that was a grind.
Yeah.
I bet. So that's my excuse. It took me a while to get ready for that. Okay. So how tough is it? Again, to be an athlete, and you're an engineer. That is not a real hard. That's not a real easy thing to do. How does a sports team? How do you accommodate that? And are there things that you required to do as a student athlete when you're out there playing Division III sports?
I mean, it's definitely just a lot more dedication to schoolwork. I mean, I'm in the doing my homework and studying nonstop. I mean, I'm working up until 3 o'clock when we have practice, then I'm going down there. Then once I get back, I eat, but right after that, I'm back studying and doing my schoolwork again.
Well, the one thing, and it can apply to different things. You know, I remember the one semester I had 18 credits and I worked 20 hours off campus to make some money. And that was my best semester grade wise, because you have to manage your time well. I mean, I don't know how you ranked yourself going into college on time management. You had to get better.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, last year, I can definitely say this for sure. I did not have good time management. And then it kind of hit me and I was like, all right, I need to get my schedule straightened out. So once I did that, it's pretty good now. Got a good schedule going.
Glad to hear that. You got a couple more weeks to grind on the academic side here before finals. And let's get to football. Congratulations, an all-conference PAC award. A lot of hard work. There's the second team defensive back. You're one of 15 guys on this team, and that indicates the season you had. So team-wise, your season just finished on Saturday. You went to Hanover, Indiana, and lost 23-15. So for the third straight year, you had this program. You were there last year, and we'll talk about that. It was a very competitive entry into the national playoffs. Obviously, you'd like to get the win. But let's look at that Saturday game. You got down early, and then you tried to get back in the game. How did that game look from your angle? What was the challenges, and what were you guys able to do or not able to do?
I think just one thing is we knew they were going to come out slinging the ball. They were pass heavy a lot, so we know we had to stay attached to their receivers. But quarterback is a good scrambler, good runner. So I think one thing is we just – didn't attach too well, and when they scrambled, they found open guys. That hurt us to start. And then one thing, we couldn't really get the quarterback when he was scrambling, so we had him stopped at like third, fourth downs, and he got them. And I think that's the main thing. And then had a few missed assignments, but I mean, we still played pretty good, only down by a score, so.
Yeah. Well, you were an onside kick away from having the ball with a chance to tie. Yeah. I mean, that you can't ask for much for that, but obviously if you write up a script going down 17, was it 17 nothing or 17-7?
It might have been 17-7.
Yeah, so you were down. So I mean, it's hard to come from behind in any playoff game. So 8-3 season, you guys started off the year with obviously a rugged schedule, and it reflected 1-2. But you know, what did you guys talk about, or what was the key rebounding from that? Because you knew you lost to two ranked teams right out, or no, you went 1-1 against two ranked teams. So that was probably a pretty good thing. And then you knew, okay, if we don't beat Washington Jefferson, that might cost you the conference. But national playoffs isn't out of the picture right now, the way this thing's drawn up. What was the mindset after that loss to Washington Jefferson? Because something worked.
I mean, we knew we had those three tough games coming up. So we knew they were going to prepare us for playoffs and the rest of the season. So once we won those two, we knew we really needed to crack down and fix what we needed to fix, continue to live in our vision and everything, and we would be good for the rest of the year.
And playing Division III football takes some athleticism, and we're going to talk about the evolution of where you went from high school to now. Three-sport guy, obviously very good in football, basketball, and baseball. You chose football, and it was something that I don't know where you – I mean, where did you realize – okay, this is big boy territory. D3 is not, I mean, there's not a lot of guys walking around from District 9 playing D3 football, let alone higher. So let's be clear here. This is a hard thing for guys to do, and you were able to accomplish it. What was some of the big things that you had to get through mentally and maybe physically, because you got to get stronger, from the beginning of your freshman year to now? What would you first look at?
I would say one thing I did over the summer this year is I lifted a lot. I got a lot stronger, so that helped me a lot. But also, I mean, it's good to just know what you're doing and stuff. And I had a ton of great great athletes and friends who helped me there, teammates who, like, allowed me to learn the playbook. And I don't know. I mean, scout team my whole freshman year. I pretty much played scout team, and when my opportunity came, I did my best and I showed them what I could do, and that helped a lot. So just like showing up and giving it all you can in your scout team, that really helped the coaches see what I could do.
So going into the fall here of your sophomore year, you had to earn where you are now. You know, your evolution. So you were a corner and then you went to safety in high school. And then when you decided to become a college football player, you had to go through a process of figuring out where you wanted to be and then falling in line with maybe what the team projected you to be. What kind of adjustment did you have to make there? Because that's not an easy thing.
Yeah. So going in, I started at corner at Grove City. And once they saw a 6'3 kid, they're like, he's not playing corner. So midway through the season, one of our safeties got hurt. So I got moved to safety. They were starting to get me reps there. And I think it was against Bethany, the week we played Bethany. I actually traveled and I got to go in at the end of the game, first time I went in. And then after that, I stayed safety the rest of the year. And then 2 weeks left in the season, I ended up tearing my PCL. Hmm. So I was out for the rest of the year, but thankfully it was right at the end of the year. Didn't have anything else. So got to recover all winter. And then spring, I had my brace on, and that kind of limited me a little bit, but I was still getting a lot of reps with the ones and twos, so that was good. And then come fall camp, I mean, me and a couple kids are fighting for the spot, and it wasn't until the first week when they finally said who was starting. So,
Is it a hybrid position between like a safety linebacker thing? I've been told that's kind of what you did. And explain, you know, as easy as for people to understand what your job is. I mean, you had 35 tackles, which means you're not totally out there. You know, you're obviously not a cornerback. You're not out there. You rank fairly high on the team in tackles with 34. But you did have some of the best numbers as far as pass coverage in the conference, 3 interceptions, 10 pass breakups. We'll talk about the block punt here in a minute. But so is it a hybrid position? Because there's some good on both sides of that.
Yeah, it is. So I'm normally always on the wide receiver or the slot to the field. So if they have two wide receivers to the field, one of the boundary, I'm on that inside guy in the field always. So, and then if they don't have one, I'm back like 10 yards and I'm playing the run or pass.
Okay. You like to hit?
I do.
Did you get run over this year? There's big guys out there.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a lot bigger people than what you see in D9.
Right. I'm sure it was a great way to transition into the program when you had, and it's time to shout out the guys that preceded you, Kobe Banana, who was a 2-time honorable mention, all PAC, Dalton Bish and Trenton Roop, who was out there on the defensive side as well. How much did those guys help you, or mentor you, or just get you comfortable? Because there's a lot of kids that just go and they just get overwhelmed, maybe just not feeling as part of the program enough, or, hey, I'm not going to play. I don't see the daylight at the end of the tunnel. There's a lot of kids that go through that, I'm sure. How did they help you?
Yeah, they definitely helped me a lot. I mean, especially Trenton, because he was on defense. He was actually corner too. So to start, he was really helping me a lot and showing me around the college and helping me fit in better. So that really helped. And then also Dalton. Both of them, they were just really nice to me and really, really helped me fit in a lot. So,
yeah, and they would have been seniors when you were a freshman mm-hmm. at Red Bank, right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It would have been the same thing. And then just the culture of this team, Coach DiDonato has done a great job with this program. As we said, 3 years in a row to nationals. Talk a little bit about what a football culture in colleges. Cause I know Coach Gold at Red Bank, you guys had a great culture down there and you were winning. So those two combined, that's an awesome thing to be a part of. How, you know, you're used to that a little bit, but how does that change when you have a bigger roster, you're on campus, you're older and you're playing with men, but you also have a coach that's bringing that together within the Grove City College, you know, the mission statement out there. What's that been like for 2 years?
I mean, it's been great. I mean, Coach Dito does a really good job. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else with the way he does it, because he incorporates everything into faith and then into our vision. And he does such a great job coaching everyone up and keeping us ready to go for the season. And he's a great coach.
Well, and the campus, I mean, I visited not that long ago, and it was amazing. And then you hear of the new mission to the project to upgrade some facilities on campus with sports, turf, baseball, indoor track. The morale for athletes on campus has to be incredibly cool.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, you look all the fall sports. I think mostly all the fall sports won PAC's championships except football, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, let's give I want to get some shout outs to the other ones. There's a lot of local kids here, freshman Taylor Ripple for volleyball. They win the PAC and they go to regionals. You have some Brookville kids swimming, Calvin and Erica Doolittle, Sadie Shovestall, Noelle Anthony's playing softball at Clarion, Emma Covert from Montauk's down there as well. Mason. And it just seems like that's a good landing spot for a lot of kids in District 9. What are some of the things that it's exciting on campus that you take advantage of that's not necessarily sports?
I like to play a lot of IM sports. So they have
you allowed?
And then basketball as well. So those are fun.
Oh, so they allow you to play basketball? Well, off season, right?
Well, yeah, I don't play in season, but off season, yeah.
Well, I was the IMO president my senior year. I know that's a shock, me trying to organize sports or something, but yeah, that's where I kind of got interested in reffing basketball. I was able to, mm-hmm. I started reffing some games there. I'm like, hey, this is kind of fun. So I was able to start blowing the whistle there. Mason, great conversation. You got a nice, you're off to a great start for career. And I'm sure you guys, moving forward, what's this program look like moving forward? I'm not even sure who you lose, who you all that stuff. What's the off season going to look like? I know it's a lot of rest and classes right now. Mm-hmm. But how do you guys, what do you do in the spring and what's the plan moving forward for the team and you?
So we'll get back into lifting as a team. We'll get to doing our sprints and stuff, getting ready. And then we'll start spring ball. I think it might be 3 weeks long or something like that. So we'll get going into that. But we lose a few guys, but everything they've done, all the younger guys and guys below them, I've been looking up to them. So I think we'll be good.
I guess I didn't ask you the magic question. What's it feel like to be an all conference player? I Kobe obviously got honorable mention. I don't know how many D9 guys get to say that. I had to go way back. I didn't do a whole lot of research. I know Clarion University's had some guys in the past from District 9. Did you think that was even something that was on your radar even earlier in your career? Cause you are still in the first half of your career, but you got to be, you're an all conference second teamer. How's that fit with you right now? And does it surprise you? Does it make you proud? How do you feel about that?
I mean, I was a little bit of both surprised and proud. I mean, going into the season, I didn't expect too much of myself, but obviously I still expected me to do pretty good. And the first few games, I mean, I had that pick at Cortland, and then I thought I was fitting in pretty good. So yeah. Halfway through the season, I found my spot at where I am now, like that hybrid position, and I got comfortable and felt pretty good. So I thought I could have had a chance, but I mean, we have a lot of really good other guys on our team who definitely deserved what they got too.
Oh yeah, and I said I was going to ask you about the 97 yarder, and I didn't. That has, I don't think you had a 90. That's the longest one I've ever heard of you do. Is that your longest touchdown play?
Yeah.
What was your previous long? Do you remember?
In high school?
Anything. I mean, I don't remember. I'm sure you had some long ones, but not 97.
No. I don't know. But one thing I do remember is in Pee Wee, I had a 97-yard touchdown at Slippery Rock High School.
There we go. So it is your longest since Pee Wee football, midgets playing for the Bulldogs at Slippery Rock. So that play was what? It was against Hiram. You guys knew they were going to probably have to pass. What was that play? And when did you realize, hey, I'm going to house this?
So they were like on the 10, I think, or maybe 15. They had trips out to our side, so I was on the middle guy. The inside guy, he ran like a hitch. My guy, he ran an out. The other guy ran like a fade. So flood concept. And when I was on my guy, he started breaking out. And the ball was, I think it was supposed to go to the hitch, and it was overthrown. So I just jumped in front of it, caught it, and then just took off. And the quarterback almost caught up to me, but my boy Keegan Frazier, he helped in and stepped up for the block, so got me the whole way.
I was going to say, there had to be at least one block that helped spring you for that because of there's a lot of fast guys on the field, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Well, congratulations, Mason. Looking forward to covering you for two more years. Proud of you out at my alma mater. Always good to talk to some Grove City guys. Shout out to all the athletes out there. They're doing very well. Hey, thanks, and have a good Thanksgiving. And by the way, if you get a deer, I'll take some meat.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, Mason.